1. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show.
Well, hi everybody, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is Barbara Hofmeister from the To Be Network, and today you are in for a really, really special treat. Today we have a legend, a true specialist and expert on entrepreneurship, author of 13 books and co-author of many more books, a gentleman who is about to receive a Lifetime Authors Achievement Award, can you imagine? And that's happening just next month in New York City. The gentleman I'm talking about is Michael E. Gerber. And Michael is the world's number one small business leader. And he's the author of the New York Times bestseller, The E-Myth Revisited. And the subtitle is Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It. And if you run a small business, I think you want to hear what he has to say. I definitely do want to hear what he has to say because I recognize myself already in his book. The E-Myth Revisited has been translated into 29 languages and is taught in 118 universities. And I think that's really exciting that something so practical as his book is actually taught in the universities. About time, too, that they teach stuff that the students really need to be successful in their life. So welcome with me, Michael E. Gerber. Michael, are you there?
I sure am, Barbara, and thank you for having me with you today.
Well, thanks for being here. I feel so honored, and I'm so excited about this. So thanks ever so much for being here with us.
My pleasure.
Michael, you wrote the number one business book of the last 25 years, I think, The E-Myth. And I took it down from my shelf because I've had it there for quite some years. I read it years ago. And I tell you, I should have read it more often than once. Because as I was rereading it, I recognized myself in that. I said, this is what's happened. This is what's happened.
Yes.
Because I just lost one of my employees that has been with me for almost a year, and I'm a tiny little business, you know, speaking business, mainly a one-woman show, and I had this nice young gentleman from the Philippines that was working for me for the last year, and he did a really good job, and I didn't have to supervise him. He did it all by himself, and we spoke rarely, and then he tells me, I'm leaving you 1st of November, and I'm like, huh? Why? What happened? But he doesn't want to talk about it. He's just gone. And I'm really shocked. And then I'm reading your book, rereading your book, and I find, the stages of the entrepreneur or of the business, and that is the infancy and the adolescence. So
yep.
Could you explain that a little bit? Our listeners can understand what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. Well, you understand, Barbara, first of all, from my position, my point of view, you don't really own a business. You have a practice, which in fact is a job. So what you did when you went out on your own is you created a job for yourself where you were the key bottle washer, cook, janitor, everything and anything that has to be done in order to get the job done. So you bought a job for yourself, and then you added a person to help you do the things you didn't really like to do, didn't want to do, but needed to get done, and was delighted that he didn't require anything of you other than to pay him. And he went on and did what he needed to do, what he thought needed to be done, what had to be done, and you were just thrilled until you turned around one day and it was gone. And then you go to him and you say, what happened? And he looks at you strangely saying, well, I'm going on with the rest of my life. I never intended to be here for the rest of my life, Barbara. And you're in shock. Well, it happens to every single person who starts out on their own in this cruel, cruel world to do their own thing. So now you come face to face with the fact that you really don't own a business, you have a job. We'll call it a practice. And a practice is the very first stage. It's infancy in which you do everything, you are everything, and you succeed at whatever you do to the point where you're able to grow, and you engage in the movement forward to an adolescent business. All this speaks about what I speak about in my E-Myth books, which essentially is that you're three people. You're an entrepreneur, you're a manager, and you're a technician. But unfortunately, the technician rules the roost. The technician is the producer. When you're out speaking, you're the technician speaking. When you're out engaging in getting a new speaking opportunity, you're the salesperson. When you're in your office getting administrative work done, you're an administrator. But you're all the time a technician, doing it, busy. What's got to happen is the shift from technician to manager, from manager to entrepreneur. And the minute you understand that and experience that, you'll suddenly have to ask yourself a question, which is, what do I really want, and why did I do this in the first place? And that's the question we get involved in with our clients, your clients and mine. So what is it you really want, Barbara? And what are you supposed to be getting in order to assure you that you're doing it?
So
it's a big problem. It's a big problem. Most people fail in business because they're not really entrepreneurs. That's the E-Myth, the entrepreneurial myth. Why most small businesses don't work, what to do about it.
I mean, you write about having a vision and a mission. And I remember I started years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I started a Toastmasters club in Spain. I lived in Spain at the time. And it was like building a business. And the first one failed. Well, not really failed. It was okay, but it was not going the way that I envisioned it, you know. I did have a vision for it. And so when I started the second club, I actually wrote a detailed vision how I see the club, you know, my ideal Toastmasters club, how I see that with every little tiny detail, what will happen in there and how people, you know, members will treat each other and so on. And I'm telling you, I built the club like that with that vision in mind. Every new member got the vision. And now I'm gone for since 2 years, and they live that vision. It's so empowering and so inspiring to just, you know, I hear from them occasionally, and they are doing so fantastic living that vision that I've written down 10 years ago. So I know
that's
how it
wonderful.
Works.
That's
yeah,
wonderful. And is that
well.
Toastmasters Club a business?
It's not, but...
It's a not-for-profit?
It's not-for-profit.
But it could very easily be a business.
It could be, yeah. I mean, I felt like I'm building a business while I was building that because, you know, you want to attract a certain type of people that fit in and that like to work together and work as a team and so on and so on. So all of that, yeah. And but when
yes.
I started my business, I did not write a vision. I did write a vision about my life, but not for my business.
Yeah. Well, when you think about that Toastmasters experience, it rings true to me that, in fact, the entrepreneur, the creator within you, stepped apart from it, sort of transcended it, in order for you to invent it. And your inventing it meant you had to see all the moving parts. You had to see all the different roles. You had to see all the different outcomes. You had to see the process by which you could do what it does most effectively to provide the people who are attracted to it what it was that they wish to get from it. And when you think about that, that's exactly the process the entrepreneur goes through to invent what I call your franchise prototype. So you created the franchise prototype of your that club, Toastmasters Club, which in essence could be replicated thousands of times. It reminds me of a gentleman, Ivan Meisner, who is the founder and chairman of a organization called BNI.
Yeah, I know them, yeah.
Yep, BNI is Business Networking International.
Uh-huh.
He's got hundreds of thousands of members of BNI in 45 countries. Started out in exactly the way that you're describing, but it wasn't until he read the E-Myth, Ivan says, that he truly understood what was missing in the picture. And then he went to work on the prototype of BNI and perfected it to the point where he could scale it. Then he opened another one and another one and another one and another one. It's now a franchise. It's amazingly successful. But, of course, he's not out there leading the networking
meetings,
events, meetings of BNI. He's the leader of that company.
Yeah. No, I
so you have a perfect example of what works.
Yeah, this is why I also wanted to use that, because it just came to me as I was rereading your book. I thought, yeah, I mean, you've done all that. You know it. But for your own business, you haven't used it. You haven't done it. So
there you go.
Definitely, this is what's going to happen in the next few days, I'm promising.
There you go, Barbara.
But, yeah, it's, I mean, it's, it just seems so dumb, you know, that you know it and you still don't do it.
I know. It seems so dumb. When you look at it retrospectively, you say, why didn't I do that here? I did it there. And you suddenly realize the difference of your perspective about what you're doing here as Barbara and what you were doing there as an entrepreneur who was truly impassioned by creating a system for people that would work for those people to provide those people with something. You wouldn't be doing it. It would be doing it.
Exactly. Exactly, and I have the same for my life. You know, for my life, I have a very clear vision. And also there, I have a good example just recently that I have in my vision, one of the parts is that I'm going to speak in front of 50,000 people. And the date that I set for it was 2011. And a few months ago, I was thinking, you know, I mean, not that much happening really to make this happen. You know, I mean, this is getting very close now, the date. So what are you going to do about it? And maybe 10 days later, I get an email from the organizers of this Festival of Enlightenment, and they asked me to speak there. And I'm like, wow, you know, I read their website and they expect about 50,000 people. And I'm like, hallelujah, you know, I mean, this is, yeah.
Okay. But Barbara, hear me.
Way,
and this is really, 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 really important. When you say I had a vision of me speaking to 50,000 people, that's not an entrepreneur. That's Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
That's a personal dream. It's not
an impersonal dream. Yeah.
This is not about personal growth, though it is obviously about personal growth. This is about creating a venture, an enterprise that can completely transform the world. So, Barbara, what will that enterprise look like? And it won't look like me speaking to 50,000 people. It will be the enterprise I create transforming the lives of 50,000, 100,000, 2 million people of a very specific kind. Because I have discovered a way for them to transform their lives that will work systematically without me ever having to be there. So it's not about Barbara, it's not about Michael, it's not about whomever. It's about the method that will produce the great result that will have a profound transformational impact on how people live their lives in the world.
Mm-hmm.
What is that system? That's the question. Barbara isn't the system. What is the system? That's the question every one of your clients needs to ask to the degree they wish to be entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Muhammad Yunus and Grameen Bank, whose dream is to eradicate poverty worldwide.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he has a method through which to do that. And his method is called Grameen Bank, which provides micro-lending to impoverished women. Using a system he invented that assures him that, in fact, if a woman is accepted to receive a micro-loan to become part of that community, she will successfully achieve the result that he set out to help her achieve. He's not out there doing it.
Yeah.
The whole team of Grameen Bank is out there doing it.
Yeah.
So you're looking for the system.
I'm looking for a system, yeah. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I wrote the book, because I put all the steps in the book so people don't need me. They can just do it from the book. So it's, you know, a small part of the puzzle is there already, but I will work on it, I promise you.
So let me ask you, the book, your book's name is?
The book's name is To Be or Not to Be, The Choice is Yours.
Uh-huh.
And it's about choices in life.
And how long has the book been out?
It's been out since April of this year.
Wonderful. So how many individuals, call them surrogate Barbaras, do you have out there in the world who are licensed to deliver the methodology that you enumerate in your book?
None so far.
There you go. And there's the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, actually, I have two in Russia that are doing it, but yeah.
Yes, if there's a way to do what it is that Barbara does, then it has to be done through something other than a book. The book won't do it. Because as you know, people will buy the book, they may read the first chapter of the book, they may forget about the book, they may put the book away, it may be in their library, and they
They would come back.
Or they may read the book and they may do page one and they don't do page two.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like I had your book for a long time and I forgot it.
There you go. See what I mean? The book won't do it. The book might stimulate it, but the book won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
The book can't possibly do it. So, so now you have a book. The book speaks to the process. The process is, this is what you do, step one, step two, step three, step four.
And I teach other
people
how
to do. Now you need to teach that process to facilitators or coaches or mentors or what do you wish to call them,
mm-hmm.
who then use that process to implement it with prospective clients throughout the world.
Yeah.
To be or not to be,
really.
You have the choice.
Choice is mine, yeah.
Yep. There you go. Our choice.
Definitely.
Your choice.
Definitely.
Everybody's choice.
It is our choice, yeah. Excellent. So I think we have quite a few coaches and speakers listening. So I think they all get some ideas from this conversation, I'm quite sure. And I'm sure they will get your book to refresh their memories, because I definitely needed to refresh my memory. That was such an eye-opener. You know, I read it 2 days ago. I mean, this part where I thought, oh, this is just what happened to me, you know. And you are right. It's not enough that... that people have the book. I know that. I mean, a few people that are ready, like with your book, the people that are really ready in that moment when they actually read to make the change, they will. But that's not the majority. That is a tiny little percentage. Yeah.
Well, you see, what happens is that, and you've said that, you know, a lot of coaches are listening to us right now. And, it's an incredible phenomenon, the coach phenomenon. You know, I don't know whether you know this or not, but I started the very first business coaching company. We weren't consultants, we were coaches. And my company called the Michael Thomas Corporation, I started in 1977. It was the very first business coaching company of its kind.
I didn't even know they had the word, they used the word coaches in those days, except for sports. Mm-hmm.
Yep, the very first. And in fact, we created a business coaching system, which is alive and well today, which enabled me to hire, license, certify individuals who wanted to become e-myth coaches.
Mm-hmm.
To deliver that methodology to their clients. But the phenomenon that occurred following that became a phenomenon where some individuals, some entrepreneurs, went into the business of teaching coaches how to become coaches.
Yep.
So you know about all of the schools that... that teachings that go on in the coaching community.
Yes, definitely.
They teach coaches how to become coaches. Now, understand the very interesting thing about that is that those coaches who go to those schools go there for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They go there to learn how to become a coach, to go to work as a coach, 99% of them out of their home, out of their home office, to create a preferred lifestyle for themselves by coaching other people. But understand, they didn't become a coach because they were interested in a particular demographic, a problem other people were experiencing, they became a coach. For themselves, they became their own customer. Hear me?
Yeah.
They became their own customer. It was all about satisfying me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the massive number of coaches out here in the world started to be a coach without any understanding of the consumer. The consumer for coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they, because they didn't understand the consumer for coaching, and they didn't go into coaching for the consumer of coaching, they went into coaching for themselves, they became the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
99% of them fail in the business of coaching.
That's true, yeah.
Because it isn't a business.
That's true.
It's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about them. And so it's interesting when I speak to coaches from the perspective of an entrepreneur and speak to them about awakening the entrepreneur within them, you have no idea, Barbara, how much negative resistance I get to that conversation.
I can imagine. I can imagine. I know quite a few who, I mean, who are definitely not friends of entrepreneurs. They think it's something bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're hostile to the whole idea. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, and they don't understand that that's part of it. I mean, if they want to be, if they want to make money out of coaching, they need to be in business, and they are not in business if they're against business. So,
right, that's the problem, and that's the problem worldwide with coaches.
Mm.
In other words, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me.
Well, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that's. Period. It's all about me.
Every coach will tell you that, you know, all that I do is for them, you know, I mean, for my clients. I want to help my clients.
Exactly.
The truth is, it isn't.
The truth is, it's for the coach.
Yeah. Hmm.
So it's a fascinating question. I say that you have to transcend yourself in order to transform yourself. And the problem speaking to coaches is that there is no ability to transcend themselves. They are so personally indoctrinated. Personally indoctrinated in their mindset that they can't grow beyond it.
Why do you think that is?
Well, it's the way they got started. You understand, they went to school to learn how to be a coach, but nobody taught them it's a business.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Nobody taught them it's a business. It's all been about personal development. It's all about developing your manner. It's all about developing your style. It's all about developing your personality. It's all about developing your methodology. It's all about et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all in service of the coach within you who wants to be able to be paid to do what you love to do. So I'm simply saying that the vast majority of coaches in the face of this earth that I have been involved with or confronted have essentially been completely in contradiction to the notion that to be a coach is insufficient because you will never, ever, ever truly create a significant lifestyle doing it. Ultimately, it depends upon you, and if it depends upon you, well, I say read the E-Myth. It's very, very simple. You are the business. You don't own one.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I definitely, you're right.
And it's so offensive when I say that to a coach.
Well, it is. It's not really what we want to hear. I mean, I don't consider myself so much of a coach, but it definitely is part of my business. And, yeah, I don't want to hear that I'm coaching for me.
So here you have the opportunity. You have a book. You have a way. You have a process. You have a methodology. Now the question becomes, does that methodology actually work on behalf of the people you have created it for? And who did you create it for? You didn't create it for another coach. You created it for an individual.
Yeah.
Who must learn how to grow beyond themselves.
Yeah. I mean, the method works because I'm getting wonderful testimonials from the readers, so it does work. The ones that use it works.
Wonderful.
But of course,
so now you get the opportunity to expand your reach through other individuals who deliver your methodology, licensed to deliver your methodology to clients. But that's not enough, because what has to happen now is you have to create a lead generation system and a lead conversion system in order to attract prospective clients to your network of coaches,
mm-hmm,
and convert those clients into paying customers.
True. Mm-hmm.
And without those three systems, lead generation, lead conversion, and client fulfillment, you don't have a self-sustaining business.
That is unfortunately true.
And without a self-sustaining business, you're constantly living in this place of not getting enough, not doing enough, not having the impact that you hope to have, reaching enough people, not transforming the world.
Definitely.
If Muhammad Yunus had done what every coach does, there'd still be millions upon millions of impoverished women who would never see the light of day. But because he understood it as a business, as a system, as a methodology, he's been able to have a profound impact on millions upon millions of impoverished women. Because it doesn't depend upon Muhammad Yunus.
Yeah, it depends on the method. It depends on the system, yeah.
Yep.
God.
So Muhammad Yunus is a new entrepreneur in this age of the new entrepreneur. And I'm saying, as well as Barbara Hofmeister can be.
Well said. Well said. Your words in God's ears.
And there you are.
No, but that is definitely true, and I think that there will be quite a bit of learning from this session. I shall listen to it later on. Again. No.
So I ask you, Barbara, what is your dream? What is your vision? What is your purpose? What is your mission? What is the dream of your company? Your company's vision, your company's purpose, your company's mission. And I'm saying very simply that Barbara is bigger than the Barbara you know by an almost infinite degree, which means that you simply have to rise to the occasion to truly believe that you can create a venture, an enterprise that can, because of its ability to do what it does on a very small scale, can be scaled to do it on a very large scale. And in the process, depending upon what you choose it to do, you can transform the world.
Yeah. Sounds possible, yeah. Sounds doable. Okay, let's
do it. Well,
it's
not only possible, it's not only doable, it's absolutely predictable.
Excellent.
So I say.
That is good.
So, Barbara, do you want to join that club? That's really the question.
Do I want to join the club of entrepreneurs?
Yes. You want to join that club?
Yes, I do want to join that club. Yeah.
Yeah. As well you should, because you're a passionate woman. You're driven by meaningful things. You just have to scale your desire to match what's required.
Mhm. Yeah, and become more systematic, because I am very intuitive. So.
Yep.
And pretty chaotic at times.
Well, and the beautiful thing about that, Barbara, is that, as you know, they're not mutually exclusive.
No,
being
they're not.
Intuitive,
no.
No, being intuitive is not the opposite of being systematic.
But systematic
without,
is a challenge for
without
me.
Being intuitive, there will be nothing of value to create. But without being systematic, your intuition will never be able to be grounded in anything that's scalable.
That is definitely true. That is definitely true. I've already realized that some time ago, but yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm all with you. All with you, and thanks for reminding me again and for telling me. But you've got something else that I'm really interested in, and I'm sure our listeners too, and that is called the dreaming room. And the dreaming room sounds so opposed to a business a business environment, sounds so opposed to building a business. What's the dreaming room all about?
Well, the dreaming room was invented. I invented it in December of 2005, and it was intended to be an entrepreneurial incubator.
Mm-hmm.
Not the incubator of the business, but the incubator of the entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Effectively working with as many thousands of business owners as I've worked with since I founded my first company in 1977. That company was the Michael Thomas Corporation, then transformed into Gerber Business Development Corporation. Then when the E-Myth book was first published in 1985, changed the name of the company to the E-Myth Academy. And as the E-Myth book spanned the world, we turned it into E-Myth Worldwide. Today, E-Myth Worldwide is a subsidiary of Michael E. Gerber Companies. Another subsidiary of Michael E. Gerber Companies is a company called Origination. And Origination has at its heart the Dreaming Room. So the Dreaming Room was an incubator for entrepreneurship. And essentially the purpose of it was to awaken the entrepreneur within. Any person whose life was static, stuck in a place that they couldn't see their way to grow out of, I'm saying, and I said, that's because you have not stimulated or inspired the entrepreneur within you to grow. So the Dreaming Room is a place that the entrepreneur is discovered, comes alive, is awakened, and is given legs, arms, a brain, and a mind, and a passion to go beyond where we are. That happened in the Dreaming Room 58 times as I was developing the process over 2.5 days in each Dreaming Room of intensively working with individuals who would come there to awaken the entrepreneur within themselves. Some of them owned a business and were stuck. Some of them had a job and were stuck. Some of them had lost their job and were stuck. Some of them had become self-employed and were stuck. Some of them were sole proprietors and were stuck. and so forth and so on. But one common denominator of everybody who came to the dreaming room is they were stuck. They were stuck in a space in the path of their life which was not satisfying, which was frustrating, which was disenabling, and they needed to find a new way. The dreaming room was intended as the way to find a new way. And hundreds upon hundreds of people have gone through that dreaming room. Now understand, as I went to work in the dreaming room, leading these dreaming rooms, with which might have 20 people in there, 30 people in there, or whatever, I was also going to work on the dreaming room. And by saying going to work on the dreaming room, I meant I was going to work to create the system, so that I would not be the one who was leading dreaming rooms, but I could, in fact, create me all over the world through thousands upon thousands of dreaming room facilitators who would continue the work that I learned how to do.
Yeah, exactly what
And that's what's happening today, right now, as I'm speaking to you. I'm in the lobby of a hotel, San Marcos, California, and in the training room are nine individuals who have come from around the world to learn how to become and to be licensed as certified dreaming room facilitators. We now have a dreaming room facilitator in two of them in South Africa, one in Colombia, one in Mexico, one in Denmark, one in Sweden, one in the UK, one in two in Canada, two now in Australia, and one in Japan. And they're just the beginning of the wave of dreaming room facilitators who we will be expanding as we complete and perfect the system, so that we can have individuals awakening the entrepreneur within people in their community to create new ventures. And that's the dreaming room. It is not the opposite of what happens in a business. It's what unfortunately should happen before anybody ever creates a business or writes a business plan, which is to discover the entrepreneur within themselves and then to create a dream, a vision, a purpose, and a mission. And in the dreaming room, we have a very specific definition for a dream, a vision, a purpose, and a mission. And I've written about that in my, ninth book, which is Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, How Ordinary People Can Create Extraordinary Companies Without Any Experience to Guide Them. So we're on an entrepreneurial revolution. And the dreaming room is the first piece of the puzzle through which we help people who are unemployed, underemployed, self-employed, or sole proprietors discover what it means to be truly entrepreneurial, which essentially is the conversation that you and I have been having, Barbara, in this interview.
Yep. So would it fit anyone? I mean, it's fairly small. It's a fairly small course, right?
I'm sorry?
It's a fairly small group that you're working with.
Well, it's a small group now. That group will grow and grow and grow and grow.
In your dreaming room, when you do actually do the dreaming room, whether you do it or one of your facilitators.
It's a small group. The facilitator leads nine people in the dreaming room. And the dreaming room now is a 12-week course. It's not a 2.5-day intensive. So the dreaming facilitator will be leading a 12-week course, one meeting a week, 3 hours long, to go through the curriculum of the course, to prepare the participant to discover their dream, their vision, their purpose, and their mission, of creating a company that has meaning that they can then go off and start themselves using a process that we've also created to help them to do that. But the dreaming room is the incubator. And I say that if every single individual, and we've worked with over 70,000 business clients around the world, if every single one of those business owners had been to a dreaming room before he had started his or her business, their business would take on a completely different form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that, yeah. Interesting stuff.
So, Barbara, you should come to the dreaming room.
I should, shouldn't I?
Yes, my last dreaming room, my personal last dreaming room, is being held this next month, December 9th, 10th, and 11th, in Carlsbad, California. And I'll be leading that three-day event. And it will be the last time anybody has an opportunity to actually go through the dreaming room with me, because from that point forward, all dreaming rooms will be delivered by the dreaming room facilitators. We license to do that.
Mm-hmm. I see. So if I want to see you personally, I have to hop on a plane and be there on the 9th.
You got it. Bring a couple of thousand people with you. It'll be great fun.
Yeah. No, I actually just think about it.
I would not only suggest that, I would implore that you do that, because when you're done with that dreaming room, Barbara, your entire life will take a different form. That's a guarantee. You'll never go back to Germany with the thought, with the vision, or even the thought that you have a vision of speaking to 50,000 people.
Oh, that's just a tiny part of my vision. I mean,
no, I know that.
One small part of it.
I'm just pulling your leg, Barbara.
No, but I like to use that now, because it just sort of manifested itself, and I thought, oh, this is nice, you know. One thing you can take off and that is manifested.
Yes.
No, but I do understand. I hope that our listeners also understood that things need to be in some type of a system, that we cannot be everything. And we cannot let people, we cannot give other people the job of being everything that we don't want to do, like many of us are trying to do with our virtual assistants. We give them all the work that we don't want to do. And then we're surprised if they are not doing it the way we want it done, because we didn't really take the time to explain it to them and share our vision and our ideas and recruit them, actually, right? It's also about recruiting the people that you work with into your vision, into your personal, I mean, into the vision for the company, the vision for the business, right?
Yes, absolutely. So that's also part of the system.
Yep.
The way in which you communicate your dream, your vision, your purpose, and your mission is a part of the system. The way in which you recruit people to move them to understand and to be inspired by your purpose in being in business, be inspired by the system you've created, being inspired about the impact that system has on your customers, your clients, be inspired about being a part of and a party to that great thing that you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, I mean, for me that is definitely clear, but I think it's very good to say it, you know, to talk about it once more, because most people that I know personally that are going into business, they don't do that. And I didn't do that with my employee, definitely. Even though I know it, I didn't do it. So I'm also guilty of that.
We all are.
Yeah, it's so.
What can I say?
Yeah, it's really so interesting that, however often, I mean, you know so many things. We all know so many things, but we don't implement them. Even so, we know, you know, if we implement them, like exercise, for instance, we all know we've got to do a certain amount of exercise and physical activities to keep our body in shape, but so many of us don't do that because it's easier not to. But,
of course.
We've got to, you know, otherwise we might wake up one day and be so stiff that we can't move hardly or that we are ill or whatever. And even so, we all know that we eat in the wrong places, we drink the wrong stuff. In the States, sodas, pops, is, when I see that, I get gray hair just watching them. And people know it, but still they don't do it.
Well, I think it's probably because the part that needs to do it doesn't know it. So it's not as though there's one self here who knows something. Your mind may know it, your intellect may know it, but your body doesn't. Unfortunately, your body is the one who's going to have to do it. And so there's a disconnect between your intellect and your body.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mind,
your
yeah.
feeling self, your emotional mind, might know something, but your intellectual mind doesn't. And so your emotional mind can't inspire your intellectual center to do it. And so it's this mixing of parts. But there is no I, singular. There are all these little I's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plenty of them.
Who have absolutely no ability to relate to the rest of you.
Yeah.
And because of that, we find ourselves knowing we should exercise, knowing we should eat the right food, knowing we should speak kindly to a loved one, knowing we shouldn't be the same old oppressive self that one part of us is, knowing everything but not knowing anything. And that's the conversation that we have with the coach who doesn't want to be an entrepreneur. The coach wants to be a coach. The coach became a coach, not intellectually. The coach became a coach emotionally. And this emotional purchase the coach made is not connected to the intellectual center, to the physical center, or, in fact, to other parts of the emotional center. And because of that, simply on a rant or on a rage, I should have, I could have, I would have, if only, and then there's all the reasons why it can't. And so it's like a adolescent. If only, if only, if only, if only. And it's always someone else's fault.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, it's a lot of discussion with oneself also, the yeah buts, as I call it, you know, the yeah, but what if, and yeah, but what if, you know.
Yeah.
So you say yes to it, but, and immediately you push the yes away, and it's, you know, the but wins.
And it's but, and there's the but. Right in your face. There's the butt of it. And that's what we sit with, the butt of it. So you'd ask them, but are you really happy not having enough clients to make a living? Well, no, but.
Yeah, this is, I'm myself amazed. I try to avoid the word but because I know that I negate what is before. And, And still I catch myself at it. Not as much as I used to, but I catch myself at it. And I think, why is there a but? You say you want to do it, so just go out and do it. And, I have something written above my desk that just says, I will just freaking do it.
Right. There you go. Just freaking do it and shut up.
Yeah.
It's like, right, it's the saying, just do it. Who's the shoe company? Nike.
Nike, yeah.
Yeah, just do
it. That's an excellent slogan. So we will just do it. Everybody that's listening, this is Michael E. Gerber. Amazing interview. Lots of insights. Listen to it again if you came in halfway through, please. And reread the E-Myth or buy it for the first time if you haven't read it yet. It's a book. If you are in business or you want to go into business, it's a must-have book. Definitely must-have book. I've read it now for the second time, and a lot of things jumped at me that I had forgotten or that I hadn't implemented. And, and this interview, Michael, was wonderful, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara.
I hope
to see you in Carlsbad, California on December 9th, 10th, and 11th. And for all of your guests, all you need to do is go to www.michaelegerber.com, michaelegerber.com/events. And you'll be able to enroll and come visit with me in December for my very last, very most extraordinary dreaming room. Okay, Barbara?
Thank you very much, Michael. I hope to see you soon. And take care, and thanks for everything, for all your insights, and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful training with your people.
Thank you, Barbara. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this was quite an amazing interview. A good conversation also. Lovely way to connect. Please, if you came late, listen to it from the beginning. This will be in the archive, so listen to it. You can download it even. If you are in business and it's not working out properly, if you want to go into business, please listen to this interview. There's so much insight here. Michael has been doing this since 1978, 33 years. He has given businesses, small businesses especially, advice how they can grow, how they can build their business into a real enterprise that is successful. And isn't that what we all want? So I wish you a wonderful week. I see you next week, Tuesday, 1 p.m. EST, 7 p.m. German time, in the To Be Show with another extraordinary guest. Have a wonderful week and be well.